Yes, everybody, welcome back. Stephen Allison, Ronaldo Brown.
Ronaldo Brown.
All right.
Yes, I'm great, man. I'm actually doing quite well. Got a fresh trim. Put a compliments in the comments.
Premier League was back this weekend. That was good.
Before we get to that, what do you think about this hoodie?
It's all right, isn't it? George Best outside.
Decent George Best hoodie. Gaff. Stretford Paddock.
I think that's near Crazy Pedro's.
Merch.
Or is it? There's a Crazy Pedro's down near Spinning Fields. That's where his shop was.
Crazy Pedro's?
I think it's a Crazy What's Pedro's. What's that? Pizza gaff.
Is there a food gaff in town you don't know?
Well, yeah, I'm sure there is.
I doubt it.
There's several thousand. I'm sure there's at least one.
It's interesting that I bring that up. My mum's been on my case. I brought back some wings that you bought me one time here. Well, I think it was the last time we did XG, actually.
Whereabouts?
I couldn't remember it, and I forgot to ask you. And she's been on my case asking. She's like, "Can you ask Steve?"
Can't remember where they would have been.
And I couldn't remember where it is, but I need to find out because I must have brought wings home. My mum had it, and she's been hooked, and she doesn't even like that kind of stuff. So, saying so.
Anyway, Premier League started this weekend.
Yep.
On fixture list last week, you mentioned you was hopeful Arsenal could set the weekend off right for us with a bang. Now, ultimately. It was almost a flawless weekend, really. We saw Arsenal lose to newly promoted Brentford in comical fashion to open the season. United absolutely fucking blaskaboo Leeds, which was sensational stuff. We saw City lose to Tottenham without Harry Kane. And also, more importantly than all of this, Paddock won at weekend as well, capping off a really good weekend, actually, in terms of football. Should we start with Arsenal?
Yes, but the thing is, it's funny that we spoke about Arsenal and the absolute dire straits that they're in. I'm seeing people make excuses for them still, you know. I'm seeing a couple of people out there saying that would have had... No, this is what people are saying. Anyone that was going to away to Brentford for the first game of the season, they're back after, 76 years, they're bouncing, decent-ish team, we're on top of your long ball. Tony, I was very impressed with him, by the way.
I like him.
Yeah, I like him. He bullied Ben White and the other one. Don't even know his name.
Someone should have gambled on him in the summer because...
You were saying that. You were saying that quite a lot.
I think you gamble on him in last summer when he's a Championship player because now he's a Premier League player. You try and get him in January or in summer, you're playing Premier League money now.
Because I thought... It could be the old David Nugent effect, isn't it?
No, like, he's a good player. You could. Sometimes you see someone who's just... Like, we've seen it pure, where you have someone and you go, I don't know how he's doing this, but the ball's ending up in the back of the net. But you also see someone who's got a technical level of proficiency where you go, no. No matter what kit this guy wears, he's a good player.
I thought he was more like, he's big, he's physical, he's a brute.
No, he's got...
And like Mikel Antonio.
He's got technical ability.
But he showed good technical ability. He's like a couple of good flicks on the corner, through balls. He showed me a bit. He was a proper handful.
He's a player.
I put him in my fantasy team to start the season. He didn't score, but...
Had a good game. He did have a good game.
Had a decent game, but I think against them. But what we're saying is people made the excuse that everyone and anyone in the league would have struggled.
Do you know what? There might be a little bit of truth in that.
If we're being honest,
but a little bit of truth. But if you're Arsenal, where's your pride? Where's your fight? Mm. You give some youngsters an opportunity... People that, you know, there's a few names there that's not familiar to everybody, unless you're a hardcore Arsenal fan. These are kids that was coming out and getting opportunity. But do you know what? Mason Greenwood's in that bracket of Martinelli, apparently, according to all the Arsenal fans.
I've heard for the past couple of years that Martinelli was well and truly clear of Greenwood just because Kante slipped that time.
So don't tell me that you can't have it both ways. You can't have, he's better than Greenwood, blah, 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 and then, he's just a kid. When he does fuck
they off. They just match anyone. Like, at first he was saying Martinelli was better than Greenwood. That ship sailed for anyone that was saying. And then they moved it on to Greenwood versus Saka. Which, more of an argument, innit? I rate Saka quite highly, but Greenwood's... I told you that Greenwood's looking scary.
It's gonna be special. I look at Saka and I think he's like quite a functional player. I don't see him balling out.
You think he's got that extra, that little bit of star quality in it?
Oh, Greenwood. He's got a lot of that.
He's got a lot. Yeah, I know. There's like a thing. You either have it or you don't. Saka's a really good player, really good. But Greenwood,
if I said to you, and this might end up in 10 years' time just not being the case, but I said Greenwood's winning a Ballon d'Or, you go,
possible.
Yeah,
Saka.
Saka winning a Ballon d'Or, you go, no.
No. No, but it's true. But I think you did hear say this, I think McCullough, I might have mentioned it. Do you think there's any truth in the demise of Arsenal to the point where if it's one season, two season, they're finishing eighth, ninth, and it's getting worse, they're struggling to attract players? Is there a possibility that some of the good youngsters they do have, like Saka? I think that Smith Rowe's impressive. I don't know if you rate him.
I don't know if I'd have been giving him a number 10 shirt, but yeah, I agree. He's a baller.
He's decent.
Now, he does have, I think, he's got a little bit of swagger about him at times, isn't he?
Will bigger clubs nick them off Arsenal? Right. That sounds insane to say.
Let me throw this at you. Yeah. So Arsenal fans are wanking themselves into oblivion about Odegaard, right? That they're going to sign him from Real Madrid. I saw a bit of an update that looks like likely now.
Yeah.
Right? What did he get? What goals and assists did he get last year for him?
Not amazing.
No, it was shit. It was pretty fucking bang average. They just let Willock go, who was literally providing goals and assists.
He literally went to Newcastle and was their best player straight away. They absolutely love him.
I like him, Willock.
They presented him to the Newcastle fans on the weekend when he was watching, and they're raving about him up there. So you think
this is mismanagement? You save yourself 50 million, you play the kid you've got.
How much did you buy an Odegaard for?
I think it's 50 million. Correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, there's every chance of that, but I saw 50 million as a fit.
Instead of going for Joel Willock, who you did what is very difficult to do, go on loan to a club, struggling a little bit.
And then do well. Let me just have a look how much Odegaard's going
to cost. Absolutely insane, but as I'm saying, it is an interesting thought that there's a possibility.
30 million. It's 30 million.
30 million. There's an interesting thought, though, at Arsenal, where they could actually become a club where they can't be stubborn and kind of have their guard up when the likes of Chelsea, City, United, maybe Madrid come and say, can I have Smith Rowe? Can I have Saka? They can't do the whole, we're a big club, not going to give them to another big club kind of thing that they would do. If they spend one season, two seasons, three seasons, do you believe that's true?
Yeah.
Even they couldn't leave him, because realistically, would they want to? There's a level of loyalty in football, I guess, but if they've got aspirations of playing Champions League and stuff.
When all them lot, Carrick and Lampard and Joe Cole and Rio and all them lot were coming through West Ham, if they'd have stuck together, they might have challenged for a title. But they got picked apart because they weren't challenging for a title. Now, what's an interesting thing is, Spurs are Champions League final losers, right?
Yeah.
Champions League finalists. Manchester City are Champions League finalists. And Kane wants to leave this set of Champions League finalists to go to this set of Champions League finalists. Now, I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to say that Manchester City aren't better equipped to win anything than Tottenham are, because they absolutely are. But ultimately, he's still going from a runner-up to a runner-up. Now, yes, obviously City are the current Premier League champions. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's happening to Tottenham, who have been very close to the ultimate success, Arsenal...
But
yes, it's happening to you.
But from what you're seeing with Tottenham, though, is, I don't know if Tottenham and City are that comparable at the moment. Obviously, Pochettino fluked them to a final once. But Tottenham are doing that whole playing hardball with Kane, like not really wanting to improve City. Because they'll see themselves as not direct rivals, but rivals in the sense of bigger top six.
Would you sell him?
If I was Tottenham?
You're Tottenham Hotspur. Whatever the fee is, you can pick it. It's between 100 and 130 million, probably.
I'd sell him.
He's gone. You know, as far as I'm concerned, pack your shit, go.
I think you can get adequate replacement. The issue is, do you get someone? People are saying, would if Tottenham sell Kane, will they get someone of equal calibre?
Talking about Martinez, aren't
they? I think he's extending his contract. I know.
Oh, okay.
But he would have been a good option, good player.
What about Icardi?
Nah, not Icardi. Do you know who I think anyone should get? I watched him for Benfica against Arsenal. His goal scoring record's not great. A couple of them don't like him, but I think he's got potential to be a real player. And I think he'd suit the Premier League more. And you could get him for relatively cheap. It's Darwin, Nunes, Uruguay, and he's 22.
Or go something different.
Yeah.
Look at what works for Tottenham in attack. Son and Lucas Moura. And even Bergwijn. Right?
What Tottenham's most dangerous pass? Yeah. Even Carroll?
Give him someone like Benzema. He's going to run a line for him.
How on earth are Tottenham going to get Benzema off Real Madrid?
Because Real Madrid have got less money than me and you, mate.
Maybe less than you, not me.
they're absolutely fucking pepped out. I don't know. I just feel like that might be a transfer you could make happen.
Because he's one of those Cavani ones, because he's 30 plus.
Like they've got to ship wages off. They're in the shit as well. Not as bad as Barcelona, but they're on the same track. I don't know. And if it's not him, is there someone else that could fulfil that role that you might get for 40 mil?
Do you know?
And then you go and strengthen two or three other positions.
True, I think they need to strengthen
and become a better
defensively.
Team.
You know what it is with Tottenham is they're harping back to kind of PTSD element of they're looking at because the basically the same thing that's happening now happened to him what 10 years ago.
Yeah, when they sold Bale.
That's what they're.
And they retooled, and actually, I think all of us was watching when they retooled and was like, "Ooh, that's some fucking business." And then was it Aubameyang? Was it Christian Eriksen was in that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was all bar Christian Eriksen was shit. But yeah, I mean, Eriksen was a player.
Eriksen's a player.
He was a great one that they picked up. But do you know what I mean? You can definitely look around Europe and find some up-and-comers that, like Son was, a player where you go, there's something about him here.
Because Son, don't get me wrong, Son's not just a nobody. Son was a baller for Leverkusen. Like, he was a well-known good winger.
Yeah. Eriksen was from Ajax, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ajax. Son's kicked on as he has, and it's just one of them where I'm looking at it and I'm thinking how they looked on the weekend, apart barring the first 15 minutes, they looked a bit nervous and shaky. They looked very dangerous on the counter.
But City are always going to make anybody look nervous and shaky because they just dominate the ball.
But I don't know how will Tottenham look against teams that aren't dominating the ball where they can't counter. That might be their issue. That's where someone like a Kane. And that comes in handy. Whereas I don't think the likes of Bergwijn's going to open you up.
No, he probably isn't. And ultimately, that was probably United's issue. We were very early Solskjaer, very effective on the counter.
Very good.
You sit back against us and we just don't know what day it is.
I think it's changed now. I've said, how many goals have we scored in the league last season? The most. I think we're the highest scorers in Europe and league-wise. So we're good going forward. We started pretty much the same. In pre-season, we scored at least 2 goals every game.
Do you know what, right?
You look like we could have one of the best attacking teams in Europe.
Absolutely, and I think the door could be opening up for Haaland.
I think I honestly don't... You can quote me on this. I think Haaland's nailed on to come to United next season.
And do you know what? I'd even take it now if the ownership said, yeah, we're not signing you a DM this year because we're going to spunk a fat wad all on Haaland next year.
You don't need
year.
To. I swear he's got a... I swear his release clause.
Oh, has he got a release clause?
He's got a release clause of like 60 million, something. Something like that. Or is it... his release clause was... Correct me if I'm wrong, but does he still have a release clause in play? Or is it one of them where next season becomes a bidding war? Because...
With who?
That's the thing. Buying.
Yeah, maybe. But they don't like paying big though, usually.
I don't think he goes buying, though.
I think he's the perfect replacement for Lewandowski. But yeah, I mean, say a bidding war. Typically, you're looking at PSG, maybe Juve. Certainly, the two Spanish clubs are going to get involved in a bidding war. Chelsea, City could have. But if City buy Kane, they ain't buying Haaland.
And Chelsea...
Chelsea just bought Lukaku. Yeah. They're not buying Haaland. Liverpool haven't got the money to do that sort of thing. They're playing a different game. And they're competing in a different realm. So in England, the only the only team in England that's going to compete for him is United, right? Okay, Paris are not going to buy him because they've got more fucking forwards now than they know what to do with, and their wage bill's a joke.
How much money do you think PSG have made back on Messi already since he signed?
About 5 mil. That whole thing about the shirt sales pay for themselves, you need to go do a bit of research on licensing. The reason why Nike pay so much to license United or Paris or whoever the fuck their thingy is that they keep that money. Now, there might be a bonus structure in there for selling over a certain number, but you got to think a lot of the shirts that I've sold with Messi on the back are probably fucking snide ones anyway. That's going in the owner of some Chinese factory's fucking back pocket. That's not necessarily going in... And also, I saw some calculation where a guy had put every shirt sale at the $188 price as well, which is like the fully authentic match day player issue shirt with all of the badges and all that lot. I can't imagine 5% of the shirt sales are that one.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot cheaper ones. The replica ones, they're the kids' ones. Mm. They're 30, 40 euro ones, not the fucking 188 euro ones. So that projection that they've already made 150 million, no, they've not at all, you fucking lunatic.
True. What if we do get Haaland? What gives? Because some players have to go. We've got too many forwards.
Barcelona are a billion in debt. They couldn't afford you at the moment. Yeah. So that's not fucking happening. Real Madrid are in the same boat. Scratch them off. I don't know the finances of Atletico, but they typically don't play that game. It's not usually what they do. So Juventus are skint. Inter Milan have literally collapsed and having a fire sale. There is literally Bayern Munich, if they decided to, which they could do, because if they go, listen, we've seen what Lewandowski did for us. We think this little fucking robot could do the same for us. It's probably worth us pushing 100 million onto this to get him. I could see them doing that because they go, well, we don't need to worry about nine for the next 10 years. I think it might be a Bayern versus United race, and it's only a Bayern race if they decide to enter it. I don't necessarily think they're in the race.
Okay. I believe Bayern could be a possibility, but I'm pretty much nailed on and believing he's a United player next season. And I think you've got the Sancho element probably in his ear.
Does it have to go well for Sancho this season for him to be in the running with that? For that to be effective?
I don't know. Because you got Ollie as well. But yeah,
so you got both of those things. Yeah. So Ollie, if you're not aware, you should be aware, but if you're not, Ollie gave him his debut at Molde.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, that when someone gives you your first team debut as a teenager, there seems to always be a forever sort of relationship between those two.
Now, but it's basically a situation where I'm thinking, when I ask you what gives, I'm asking, you've got Martial, you've got Cavani's got 2 years, isn't it? Or is it?
Cavani's time at United could dovetail in perfectly with Haaland and leave us with the right one.
What I think Greenwood's going to give United a huge problem.
Yeah, good. I hope he does.
A good problem, because the trajectory he's on. Going into next season, he could be well in the mix of a starting place, and then you're looking at what's the starting three when you've got Rashford to choose from, you've got Cavani to choose from, you've got Greenwood, Sancho, who have I left out?
The thing is, you've got
five players for three spots.
Yeah, but you do what City and Chelsea are doing at the moment. You're assembling a squad to take on all comers and take on all competitions. I wouldn't worry about it. I would have both of them, and I think with injuries and form, you'll find the right player to play.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Also, they're different.
Haaland, Sancho.
They're different players, yeah. And the thing is, you could play them as a two, and that would be...
Who?
Haaland and Greenwood.
Greenwood.
Play them as a two. Who are you playing? All right, Bruno's out. All right, cool, let's play Greenwood off the shoulder of Haaland a little bit.
You can only do that against teams that we're going to have more possession against. So ones
yeah, maybe. But Bruno is a second striker. He ain't a midfielder. So you're not necessarily losing anything defensively. Put your parking on, don't get a ticket.
No, but it's literally a situation where I'm thinking, I'm salivating. Great word, isn't it? Is that the word? Salivating.
Do you know what I think has a massive say in this? Me and Raiola.
Oh, shoot. The Raiola effect.
So then you've got to figure out what to go with Pogba.
That's going to... Gonna have another Raiola client. It's a nightmare, that.
Apparently he's not his signed up client.
Yeah.
But Raiola's got his finger in the pie of the transfer, so something's at play here, isn't it? Like, he's involved. He's gonna have a say in this. He's an advisor to Haaland and his old man. Like, be really interested if United rolled out Roy Keane to welcome him. There's things in the mixer here, isn't there?
Yeah.
This isn't as straightforward, it's complex. But I agree, I can see Haaland in a United shirt.
And I think that, what does that do for United's...
Mate, your forward line then is dirty.
What does it do for United's kind of stature in Europe, as in works, in expectation-wise? I think when you get them type of calibre players in that kind of forward line, there's no excuse.
No, well, you still got to bring in a midfield, because I see us being lacking star quality in midfield. I think you saw from Fred and McTominay to a certain extent at weekend.
Yeah.
They can do you a job. They can put in a shift. They can do bits. But you can't necessarily rely on them to be a single guy in Europe that can... You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
if you had... Even a Ruben Neves, like, And he played half the time and half the time.
You're nailed on you on Ruben Neves, isn't it?
I like him. I'm not tied to him, but if you said to me more of an archetype of who I wanted rather than what I wanted, it would be I'm edging towards the number six that was more like Carrick than the one that everyone seems to want at the moment, which is your Ndidi or your Kante sort of mould.
I think Neves and Carrick are still different.
Yeah, they are, but they're more aligned than like Neves and Kante.
Yeah, I believe so, but I think Carrick's almost one of one sometimes in a way, in his style of, not even one of one. I think people might condemn me for this, but I think him and Busquets are like the most similar.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Busquets.
Joe, he's meant to still be the best defensive midfielder in the club in training.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because people talk about his passing ability and that, but he was very good positionally as well defensively, like shadowing. Just a quality player to the point where he even played centre-half a couple of times for us.
Yeah, comfortably. Yeah. He was a boss, Carrick. I fucking loved him. I used to hate it when people get on at him for passing it sideways all the time.
I didn't think he shot enough, though. Because he had a decent strike. Him, remember, you get chances to shoot Carrick and he never...
It's called bangers.
It's called bangers and then thinking, why don't you shoot?
I like Michael Carrick. Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what I was doing in 2006 when we signed him. It was a summer I was in Afghanistan, I think, when we signed him, so I won't remember much else outside of that. But I do remember the kickoff about us signing him and giving him the number 16. Mm. That's Roy Keane's number. And then he comes out and he's the opposite midfielder of Roy Keane. Like, he doesn't tackle. But his positioning was fucking excellent. And he was exactly what that team needed and exactly what that midfield three needed. He was great. And I wonder if... You know, there are ways to do this. There's ways to retain possession without fucking smashing someone. There's ways to win the ball back without fucking steaming into people and fouling them. Like, and I wonder if Michael Carrick can be that. Although this weekend I'm playing Cam and KO'd in defensive midfielder. I'm looking for them to smash people to win the ball back.
Get his mosque, you know, it's going to be one of them games. But it's bad where we've come from, where we've... We started on Arsenal talking about them being as terrible as they are. Got people speaking about, we touched on it last week, about Ronaldo going to PSG. I don't see that happening. But
no, I just think someone in the marketing department somewhere is having a fucking absolute wet dream trying to make that happen. Got you, haven't it?
It's almost like overkill though, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you was a PSG fan or if you was working for PSG, you'd be like, can I spend an afternoon trying to make this happen? Because if I do,
but it also means someone's like, they've got to sacrifice marketing and instant success for longevity. Because Mbappe is going, if that happens.
Yeah, did you see they booed him at weekend? I didn't notice until Monday. Joel told me.
Booed him?
Yeah, PSG.
Is it because of his, why?
Not signed a contract. Like, when you fuckers got better things to do?
Where do you think Mbappe goes, though?
Again, nowhere. Now, Bayern Munich, they love a freebie.
Because there's no...
That might be the move for them. And that might then mean Haaland is just on a one-way fucking ticket to Old Trafford.
I think...
Because Bayern Munich love a free transfer. I think how they built half
the
team.
I think Mbappe in the Bundesliga scores 70.
Mbappe in the Bayern Munich team?
In that high line.
Stop it.
But I don't...
And who beat them in the final? Maybe that is in his head.
True. But I don't know whether... Germany, though. I don't think... I think Mbappe and Haaland are two players that look to me as if they want to go to the Premier League.
I've never got that vibe with Mbappe. I've seen Spain. Yeah, Haaland I get, because he bought in Leeds, wasn't he, for one?
Yeah. All right, Mbappe's heart was probably set on playing for Real Madrid, innit? That's what, apparently, that's what he grew up dreaming
with Ronaldo
of.
Ronaldo idol, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they can't do it. Not got the finances. Can't afford you.
Not got a team.
Not got a team for it. So what?
Mate, they've lost Varane and Ramos in one fucking window.
It's true. They're all over the place. You know why? Because I'm hearing that Bale got booed when he played the other day. Apparently, there was a game recently where he come on and got subbed off again or something like that. He's a proper circus with Bale there, but I don't think he's arsed in the slightest. No. And do you think Tottenham should have? That's an interesting one. He was on loan at Tottenham. I mean, Tottenham should try keeping him.
He had games where he played well, but he wasn't great, was he?
Because I think
he wasn't very consistent.
I think you know what Bale was Bell's, what's Bell's done for the past few years, he's played like a man that's looks like he's not infatuated football anymore.
Yeah, he plays like that fucking Wales golf fucking whatever it was thing was right. It looks like he's more asked about playing fucking golf and football is his hobby.
Football's hobby,
the other way around.
You can see the way he plays. Like, he's not, like, recently he's kind of getting all the money in the world. Room trying to give me fat wedge.
I'm on the bench. Cool.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from Bell. You know, Bell's quite stoic anyway. So he's like, I'm not bothered. But there were some games and some moments where he was world class, Bale.
Yeah, he was.
Which is because he's got the ability still. He's still in good shape. I think he should have just given it another go at Tottenham, knowing that Kane was going to leave. But I think he's not bothered about it, is he? He's just
Tottenham's also somewhere that you're going to have to dig in. And if he ain't feeling it, he ain't going to dig in.
Yeah. Do you know what? Because I reckon it's probably been mentioned to him when he just probably said nah. Like, when he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you fancy going back next season?
No.
So, Tottenham obviously did turn City over. And we were sort of having a laugh before, weren't we? Gabriel Jesus is City's backup striker to no one at the moment. Like, how fucking shit must he be to be the backup striker to no striker?
Do you know what? In a sense, you look at that and think, Jesus must be terrible, isn't he? But then you're looking at it and thinking, he probably starts for any other manager for City because they want to start a traditional number nine and striker. I think Guardiola
does Pep over tinker and overthink?
He does. I think it's more on Jesus not being starting striker for Man City level. He's not terrible. Would you say he's terrible?
He's not.
He's all right. But like, he's not a Guardiola striker, and Guardiola just doesn't like strikers anyway. When he was at he had success at Barcelona, it was Messi playing false nine, isn't it?
Yeah, and he also, I mean, he had Piqué, and Piqué is a defender, but you know, he also paired him with Mascherano, and he'd also played two centre-halves. He played Busquets and Mascherano at centre-half before as well. Yeah. Like, I think he would happily take to the field with one goalkeeper and 11 midfielders. Or 10 midfielders.
And then try and make it work.
Yeah, I think he's into that sort of shit. You see that he's getting excited about the fucking formations geese fly over the training ground in. Like, oh. And I can see him trying to fucking replicate that on the pitch somehow. And I just think that he wants to... I think he is going to be the reason this City team doesn't fucking win it this year. And like,
he's the reason
they could win it with fucking me, you and Will managing. They could, right? Because we'd get out of the fucking way and go, lads, just fucking go for it.
You've been on Pep's nuts for how long, though? You've been on his case for a good few years thinking that you're not having him.
I think he overthinks it. I think Tuchel, you saw the impact of him and it was impressive. And I think Chelsea should do bits this season.
Like you're saying with Tuchel, you can kind of see like structural change and
idea structure change. Which I think at the back end, it makes them fucking locked up. And at the front end, I mean, we literally saw them create the most chances in the league. And then he's identified the position that they need. And all right, he's with Abramovich who's able to action that because Ollie's obviously identified what United need and got two out of the three. But he goes, listen, we need a striker. And he's gone, as a striker, £100 million worth, crack on. All right, cool. Now, I think if he hits the ground running, I see what he does systematically. I think Pep does a lot systematically, obviously very, very well. And he knows exactly what he wants out of his players. But there's always been that flaw where you know, because of the way that he plays, and this has never changed, you know that if you play a certain way, you'll always beat Manchester City. And Ollie has got the keys to that kingdom. Watch Chelsea's wings.
And Tottenham have it as well. Yeah. Tottenham have been City's bogey team now as well.
So fucking Wigan.
Do you know what it is? Tottenham and United, City have struggled against recently, and it's because they're two very, very good counter-attacking sides.
So, But what's Chelsea's weakness under Tuchel?
Don't think.
Exactly my point. Now, obviously, that's Chelsea team that was very expensively assembled.
He went back to front row with it to Tuchel. He came in and wanted not conceding.
Yeah, and then they was conceding too much. That I put him right this second, not necessarily in terms of what he's achieved, because regardless of whether Pep Guardiola's bounced into teams that have been extremely well equipped, obviously, you know, is it much of an achievement to win the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich? Not necessarily. Mm. Is it much of an achievement to win a treble at Barcelona with Messi? Well, no, because fucking Enrique did it. And where's he now?
Yeah.
So, like, what he's done over the span of a career is sensational, and there's clearly an excellent football brain in there, which may or may not be just trying to stand on the shoulders of Johan Cruyff to take it to the next level. But when it comes to, if I could just pick someone right now to, like, you just put me in charge of a football club, I can sign some players and I can bring in a manager, I think Tuchel would be the one that I'm fucking bringing in.
Okay. I would agree. He has a little bit of star quality, and it's the fact that he came in, and it's not like he just came in and inherited really good players, and it's the new manager momentum effect.
You could see what he did.
There was an idea change, there was a structural change, and it worked. And what's his win percentage? I think he's, how many games has he lost since he's been there? He's lost about...
Let's look at this stats. Not a lot.
He's barely lost any games since he's arrived. And with City, you've heard my theory a couple of times on Pep. I think Pep hears all the noise about all the success he's ever had has been with teams that have been loaded with talent.
Lost 5.
Out of how many?
32.
Okay, not bad. How many has he won? Because he's had a few draws.
62.5% win ratio. He had 74%.
At PSG?
74.8% at PSG. Dortmund, he was at 62.62, which again is good.
So he's good everywhere.
Didn't have a great one at Mainz, but Mainz were also a team that you don't expect that. But he had a 58 win percentage at Augsburg, which is pretty fucking spectacular. Let's have a look at Poch. Oh, so his was Steve nearly 75. Yeah, fuck Poch. So he was nearly 75% win ratio, and then Poch has had that plus some signings on top of that as well. And Poch's win percentage is 67.
What was it at Tottenham?
At Tottenham, it was 54. And 38 at the Saints.
38% win percentage at Southampton gets you the move.
Marginally better than what Southgate was getting at Middlesbrough.
Nah, but you know what it is? What I said, you've heard my theory on Pep. I think Pep hears all the noise about, is it really him, or is it the fact that his players are the most expensive every time? Is he gets whatever he wants, when he wants. His teams have been pumped full of money and loaded. And he won everything at Barcelona when he had the best player that's ever lived at the peak of his powers.
Yeah.
So, and then,
if I said to you, you can build a squad and you need to spend 50 million, no more, no less, on every player in the starting 11 and 50 million on every player on the bench, can you do it? And you'd have been like, what the fuck? And can you make a good team out of that?
I'd be excited. If any average person gets that, you can have you've got 550 million to assemble a starting 11. Do it, go. You've got one season.
By the way, I'm going to give you Sterling, De Bruyne, Silva, Yaya Toure, and Company.
Fill out the rest.
Yeah. They'll probably, you have to replace them in a year or two, but that's what you're going to start with.
Do you think that's in his head and he's like, so he does these little weird tactical manoeuvres and little intricate things that he changes and overcomplicates stuff just so that he can kind of solidify that thing of him being a genius. And
I think he dicked around in the Champions League final to appear like a genius, when I actually think that if he had just gone out and played the way City played, he wins that game.
I don't know. Saying all this and watching him go, God forbid, win the Champions League.
He should. There's about three or four teams who should. Don't be surprised if Pochettino wins the Champions League. And don't be in my mentions going, look what? I'd have backed myself to win the fucking Champions League with that team. Yeah. What am I going to... Right, okay. I let you be manager of PSG today. I'm going to play, mate. We're going to attack like fuck. And Ramos is going to kick anything that comes over the halfway line. Any questions?
What I'd do is I'd pick a starting 11 and I'll shut my mouth.
And I'll ask him, hey, you all right?
All right, like the management kind of thing, like making sure everyone's happy. But really,
come here, you little fucking genius.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Exactly. Exactly. My team talk literally would be, go out and play.
Everyone ask Messi if he's all right.
Yeah.
He says he's all right. All right. Good luck.
Passing. That's why I legitimately heard that a lot of the team talks at Barcelona were just fine, Messi.
Of course they fucking were. United's was, can you lot find RVP or I'll fucking sell you?
But this is what I try and tell people. That is a legitimate tactic of winning football at the highest level, and it should be at any level.
Yeah.
If you want to win games, you give your best players on the ball as much as possible. When you've got players that kind of think they're better than they are, and no one's like really, there's egos involved, and there's that kind of weird sabotaging going on, that's when things go left. Like, it's just basic footballing knowledge. People need to put their pride and ego aside. If you want to win games as a part of a football team, is just give your best players the ball, and then you have a chance.
And the thing is as well, there is something to be said for having patterns in the final third that you've worked on, and you've got down to a bit of a science, and you kind of know that if you go to the byline and look right, there should be someone going front post, someone going at the penalty spot. These are things we work on. I would expect they're worked on at Premier League and Champions League level clubs. This is what you're supposed to do. But ultimately, it boils down to, I can't give you every single scenario you're going to see on the pitch and what the opposition might do. What you have to do is, you just have to have enough reps of running down the fucking line and getting to the byline to see where those gaps open up. And when you fucking spot one, can you fucking action and execute?
Exactly, precisely. I remember being in a team with a team at Oldham recently, and you're there fighting for a pros, and it's all that individual element to it. A lot of the team talks from Tony were just like, get Alex Reid on the ball. And then it's not like everyone's not arguing about it, saying, oh, what about me? I want to outshine him.
Trying to get a fucking deal, mate.
I want to outshine him. It's, if we get this guy on the ball, because he's a baller, he's a maestro, you might actually end up having a good game as a result. It's not like, oh, he's going to do well and I'm not. If he's playing well and he gets on a ball, he'll find you. He'll open up things for you.
Where's he now? Still playing?
He's not playing. He did get a pro at Oldham for 1 year, and then he has football goals. And he was a bit of a nerd as well, as in like a proper genius. So he ended up going off to university. He was there when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he played for their first team, and they were fucking obsessed with him. Like, literally, he was literally the star of the uni. Anytime anyone mentioned Loughborough first, I think he said it wasn't that, he said it was quite easy, and he kept asking me to play, and asking, like, saying to the coach, because Coach Carly said, I'll get Ronaldo to play. I didn't really fancy it, remember. And he was literally, I think he was scoring like two goals a game from centre midfield. And it's a decent level of football that Loughborough University play at. Like, they play really good teams. Like, you'd be surprised, university football, like, at the top end, it's a decent standard.
Yeah, well, I know Loughborough get friendlies with Premier League.
Yeah, they do. And but realistically, if you have it right, a lot of these unis, they've got how many people to choose from?
I think Manchester's got 10,000.
Yeah, you've got 10,000 to choose from. Like, it's very, very likely you'll end up with a decent football team.
18.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got matchday squads, that's not bad.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course it is. And I think, especially Loughborough, it's usually a sporting inclination to go to Loughborough in the first place.
Yeah.
So you've got that, gives it a slight boost. And then obviously it's got an incredible sport, like, science department. Listen,
playing for Loughborough's university first looked like it was just like another academy, really. That's how they treated it. You got power base. The way they treat AU athletes, is AU is the elite athletes at Loughborough University, is insane. It's like, it's sporting paradise. And it's mad though, because I went there as a sporting athlete, basically, as a person.
But didn't do it.
I didn't want to do all that. Whereas people go there.
That's their fucking tired dreams to go there.
To aspire to do that. So like, there's people that haven't really played, done anything elite or not, but he go there and he try their best and he work hard to be a part of an AU team. Some people are so obsessed with having that AU label, that they go and join like the AU table tennis team, or so you know what it is? You're gonna laugh. AU athletes get a hoodie, right? You get a special hoodie that basically, oh, if you walk around with it, anyone looks at you, he's AU. Kind of that cool effect. So people would literally join, like, curling or...
What sport can I do?
Yeah.
So it's every first team in the uni classes as that?
Yeah, yeah. And so basically you could be badminton AU.
I wonder what the standard rugby league would have been there.
Oh, it's rugby union. The rugby union standard at Loughborough is probably the highest. Out of,
I wonder if I'd have got in.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Rugby at Loughborough was their favourite. That's the culture there, because as we know, as you should know, rugby union especially is
it's
an upper class sport. So, literally, they'd have games it's like a big rugby pitch. It's really nice. It's got music. It's the facilities there are a joke. So anyone can walk and go watch. They used to have like thousands watching. And it's like everyone would leave their dorms and go out and watch Loughborough Uni's rugby, first team rugby union play. Wouldn't do that for football. Wouldn't do that for anything else. But come to rugby, everyone watched it.
It's mad, isn't it? I am a big fan of like that American sort of college model, uni model. And it seems like Loughborough's the closest to that, I think. None of the other unis that I can think of.
I said that.
Even UCFB. I mean, Will went UCFB, didn't he? But even UCFB doesn't seem to have that sort of culture. It doesn't really have a campus, does it? It's like got an office in the Etihad and an office at Wembley and then like what?
Nice. It's as you said, it's American as you can get. It's proper insane. You don't realise how mad it is. To be fair, you do realise how mad it is when you're there because the campus is like 10 minutes across and the drive.
I've played at Loughborough. I'm sitting here trying to think who the fuck it was that we played at Loughborough against, and I can't for the life of me think who it was. It was in Rugby League Conference, so I think it would have been for Manchester, but I don't know. Where's Loughborough near? What's the major cities near it?
Leicester, Nottingham.
Might have been Nottingham.
I don't know which one it's near. It's nearer Leicester and Nottingham, but Leicester and Nottingham are still like half an hour away, pelting it.
Mm. Is it in Sherwood Forest?
Not too sure. What kind of mids is it? It's not West mids, East mids. But
I'm sure.
But it's near. It. Whenever I tell people Loughborough, I'm like Loughborough University, Loughborough near Leicester, near Notts. So they have an idea. But it's weird because the only issue with these campus unis is the bubble.
Only guy that we agree to FIFA.
It's the total disconnect though between you and the public though. That's funny though.
Yeah, because I bet it's a bit farmery around there.
Proper farmer. It's like rural. But no, I did enjoy it, and obviously my last summer term was ruined. Didn't graduate properly until this year, but I look back on it fondly, innit? I should have did more sporty stuff. I did to an extent. I tried to play it kind of casually.
Yeah, I don't know any of these towns. It's south of Nottingham, north of Leicester. Yeah, I don't know. Fuck knows. I've definitely been there, but I can't remember what the fuck for now. Who cares? Anyway, I don't know, I'd probably title this about Haaland coming to United, I reckon. Ronaldo says it's a done deal, so...
It is. ITK.
Oh, fucking hell.
This is 2 weeks now we haven't spoke about no conspiracies. Kept it out.
Hey, we had some good ones last week from Will.
Mm.
Maybe we'll have to save them till next week. In fact, I'm going to throw it. See if you can answer this in less than a minute. NASA are looking for volunteers to send to Mars.
Yeah.
You interested?
Nope.
Cool.
Do you know why? Because I watched the Alien films. The Ridley Scott specials.
I think I'd go.
Why would you go?
I don't know.
Because you probably think there's a Mars bar up there for you.
No.
So, I wouldn't go to Mars.
What am I looking for here now? Oh, it was the notes, wasn't it? I went to get the full notes on what it was. Let me just see what Will had sent me on these notes.
And if I'm not wrong, I don't think Mars is habitable, is it? It's not really.
I'm going to let you all in on a little bit of fucking secret sauce. That's the fix list. It wasn't the fix list, was it?
If anyone can answer this in the comments, where is it that they found or they assume that they found, which is the most likely place in the universe that could have human life on it?
Oh, I know. Earth.
No, other than Earth. It begins with EU, or begins with E. There was somewhere that has been found. Not found, but they assume that is out there in existence that they believe is the most likely place to have life on it. Because
how did astronauts wanted for NASA's year-long... this is only a simulation, so you don't even have to go to Mars. Because I know the thing to go to Mars, they was looking for volunteers to... And it was in like 9 years it takes to get there or some shit like that. That's a long ass time.
It takes 9 years to travel.
I think so. I'm sure it's something like that. Was it 9 months? I think it might have been 9 months. 9 months is a bit more real.
So if you set off.
The thing as well, no showers.
All right. So,
you all got to do that baby wipe thing.
So 9 months. So you set off pregnant, you could birth by yellow.
Yeah, that's insane. What I saw is that you're probably not going to do a lot of moving around either. So you're not going to land on Mars and then just start building stuff because you're going to take a minute to acclimatise. You've seen people that have been on like the space station. All the bones are all fucking, they're all like, I can't stand up. So you're going to land on Mars and you're going to be like, right, get up and do some work then. It'd just be, can't even undo my seatbelt and fucked.
How scary would that be though? Because imagine thinking
that. Fucking you, wounded, isn't it, when you go like that.
Think you're not going to normalise.
Houston, we have a problem. What's the problem? Can't undo my seatbelt. Stuck.
And then he's like, I'm stuck as well. Imagine getting on there and then on Mars.
Can you reach me?
And you've got like a welcoming committee.
What, of aliens?
Yeah.
Or even what's even scarier is a load more humans that have been sent previously that we've never been told about. And they get there and they're like, are we doing this now? And they're like, who the fuck are you lot? And they'll be like, we've been here 5 years. And you go, whoa. Now that is a great start of a horror film, I bet.
Anyway, here's what they said. Before. Sounds like Apollo.
NASA is looking for highly motivated individuals to take part in a year-long Mars simulation on Earth taking place at their Johnson Space Center in Houston. They want to see how they respond to living in conditions similar to the surface of Mars. Each mission will consist of 4 crew members living and working in a 1,700-square-foot 3D-printed module called Mars Dune Alpha. The habitat will simulate the challenges of a mission on Mars, including resource limitations, equipment failure, communication delays, and other environmental stresses. I'd do it.
Do you get paid for it, or is it?
I'm sure you'll be getting paid for it. I'll do it.
How much are you paying?
I'm not gonna ask. I'll do it.
Why would you do it?
Because I like adventures. Oh yeah, this is the secret stuff. So I got in touch with the army on. Day was it? Was it yesterday? It was yesterday. Mm. My old commanding officer is now in charge of communications for the army. And I was like, I wouldn't mind going over to Afghanistan to document what's going on, our kid. How do I do that? So I'm hopefully going to have a conversation. I mean, 99% of the chance that conversation is, you can't go over there in a minute.
What? So you want to go over there in the firing line?
I want to go over there and document what's going on because it's fucking bananas.
And now they've come out with PR statements in it saying that they're not doing anything wrong and women's rights and
give it a week.
But then on the other end, I'm hearing that they're doing all their monstrosities already. Like
yeah, I think they've already started hanging people in the streets.
Yeah.
So you know, absolutely saddened to see. Obviously, fought alongside a lot of Afghan brothers.
Yeah.
I understand the conflict over there and, you know, the people of Afghanistan have had the taste of living, it's a bit of a westernised way or it's, you know, it's certainly not the Taliban sort of regime, but the the fact that the Northern Alliance exists, and the Northern Alliance is not a fucking perfect organisation, as is, you know, any headed by fucking warlords and things like that. But I think the Afghan people, shown and evidenced by the reaction to the Taliban seizing power this weekend, by the people that were willing to fucking run out onto the runways and try and get on planes as they're taking off, tells you everything you fucking need to know about the Afghan desire to live under
the Taliban.
That's
actually insane because
it was awful watching that.
Literally, them hanging onto the wings of planes to go to wherever they're going, the chance of survival has got to be like zero.
It's just zero, isn't it? You're not staying held on. What are you going to do?
And if you do stay held on, what's the pressure like up there? Yeah.
Well, you probably pass out from lack of oxygen. It's horrific. But that's preferential to living under Taliban rule for those people, for some of those people.
So that tells you but what I want to know is how Taliban have got these. So
I saw a really interesting post the other day because I believe there was somewhere in the region of like 300,000 Afghan army troops.
Yeah.
So for the last 20 years, Britain and America have been training these Afghan army troops, fought alongside them. They're fucking brave. They're game. You know, they're there to make their country fucking safe from the Taliban and all the rest of that sort of stuff. And with America pulling out, the Taliban just took control of like 370 fucking armored vehicles. I mean, they were difficult to beat when they were just fucking cutting around with an AK. They've got armor, they've got helicopters.
Is that how skilled they were?
A lot of them have been fighting since they were boys.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, they are fucking hard.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they've taken all this armour, they've fucking seized helicopters.
But then able to fly them and that. Like, where did they?
Right, do you know what? Getting a helicopter airborne, actually fairly straightforward. Like, the stuff does similar things to your car. Like, you know, this one that goes up and down like a handbrake, that means go up, go down.
Yeah,
this
one does your nose, this one does getting, the fucking... Yeah, but it's all right getting a plane airborne. And
then they crashed a couple. Like, they were joyriding and they fucking flipped one over, but... Like, you know, and also, YouTube's a thing. Probably, I bet you can learn how to fly a helicopter on YouTube. The basics.
You can learn to do anything on YouTube.
The basics, right? And then I saw this post from an Afghan soldier, and he was like, we were ordered to come off patrol, to go to a base. We were told there was some sort of agreement that had been made. And then when we got back to the base, we were ordered to hand over all of our weapons. And he goes, like, we want to fight, we want to do this, that, and the other, but we've been de-armed by our commanders. So I don't know. There's probably some serious corruption involved in that, but it sounds like something's a bit fucky. And the fact that Britain sent 600, and I said to the wife, for starters, we've sent Tupara over there. 600, you don't need 600 Tupara to evacuate a handful of like ministers and embassy staff. This doesn't feel like an evacuation to me. This feels like a re-engagement of the battle.
Yeah.
And I said, just watch out for more people going. I said, if this gets to like 1,500, 2,000, it's going to be back on. And I said something along the lines of, and this still could happen, oh, we're just going to send enough to sort of secure the airport. Because the airport's huge. Mm. Like, you need a lot of manpower to just, like, sort of secure the airport. America sent a couple of thousand. Because it's going off at the airport, isn't it?
Why did America pull out?
A million different reasons. But I saw a really interesting post. It's probably too deep to get into with this one, but I saw a really deep post about how the lot of the north of the country was being held together by potato farming. And that there was US aid was going a lot to irrigate the land and supply the water and this, that, and the other. Mm. And then the potato crops failed and everything else sort of crumbled behind that. I mean, we're seeing an echo of that here today. I found out Nando's has had to close because there's no chicken. There's also no potatoes coming in. So there's a lot of places that are going to have to close or not be able to serve fries. This is a Brexit thing. So when you think about some of the people that are helping, you know, push through different things for farming in the north of Afghanistan. But you can see how it crumbles very quickly. It was a really interesting post that I might reshare that to my Instagram. Miss Stephen House on Instagram if you want to go and check that out. Because there's way more to this than just, ooh, Taliban bad, ooh. And a lot of the people that have been like, oh, Britain and Americans imperialism. Look, no one fucking knows this more than I do. I know I was a fucking pawn in a bigger bullshit thing. No one's ever been able to tell me the fucking verified real... A guy flies a plane into a fucking building in New York and now I'm here in a fucking desert. Make it make sense. Like, that never made sense for me. There was a book I read while I was over there which was talking about a natural gas pipeline that went right the way through Helmand and diverted it out before it got to Russia. And that was like a pipeline for Europe's gas and... That made a bit more sense to me, but still didn't make a lot of sense. The fact that we had our boys guarding heroin fields, 90% of the world's heroin comes from Afghanistan. All right, cool. Well, let's kill it all here then. And that's 90% of the world's heroin gone. Production hasn't gone down, it's gone up. Like, so what's all that about? And I think ultimately the reasons for going into Afghanistan were flawed, if not completely just fucking downright wrong. But some of the way the mission evolved and some of the security, the infrastructure building, the schools, I think on a lot of senses, Afghanistan was a better place when we left it because of what had happened. And I think the general public were happier for what had happened and certainly evidenced by the fact that there was such an absolute just fucking unwillingness to live under Taliban rule. So whether or not it was the right reason to go in the first place, I think the pulling out in the manner that we've pulled out seems to have been a mistake. And, you know, it's just fucking people. People, well, you know, I served obviously in Iraq and I've served twice. I went to Afghanistan and people are fucking people. You know, they're fucking people where you live in Manchester, they're people where I live in Manchester. And for the most part, 99% of people just want to fucking go to work, have a nice car, just fucking have something nice to eat, take the wife out and fucking chill. and not have anyone up in their business. And that is the same in Afghanistan as it is in fucking Longsai, as Drawsden, as wherever the fuck you are, or wherever the fuck you are watching it. That's 99% of the world. Yeah. And then the 1% of cunts just fucks it for everyone, no matter where you are.
Yes. it's deep stuff, isn't it? I've seen some kind of...
Oh, mate,
I've seen some tragic stuff, but...
I've been struggling with it this week. Have to see watching the fucking way it's unfolded and stuff.
And it's possibly it's going to get worse before it gets better.
But I would go... if they said to me, Steve, right, you can come tonight, you can do what Ross Kemp did, I'm there for you.
Might be able to see that then.
I don't think so. I think there's a 99.9% chance they go, what? No. you want to do fuck you up. I think the only reason that they've entertained a phone call is on the back of the fact that I served under the guy that's now in charge of it, and
yeah,
you know, I've been there myself, and I think otherwise they'd have just been told to fucking sling it. I also don't think there'll be any flights going over there unless it's fucking resupplying the lads on the ground. So, yeah. You know, and I also don't... Have you seen this guy from 4chan who's just fucking mooched over there?
No.
Taking selfies with all the weapons and stuff. Guy's off his fucking rocker, honestly.
Content. Like,
yeah, that is just... There's some places that... Do you know what? There's some places that I won't go to, and they're not many, but I don't think I would just go on a fucking, like, a Jet 2 fucking flight to Afghanistan today. I don't think...
It's surprising you said that, because apparently Britain have sorted out getting this British tourist that was in Afghanistan. They've evacuated him to Dubai. So that's worked out well for him. But everyone's thinking, why was he in Afghanistan as a tourist?
Maybe it's this fucking YouTuber or whatever he is.
I was like, insane, though. But they've probably got rid of him, evacuated him to Dubai.
Can I just say, if I was going over there, I wouldn't be fucking going making YouTube videos. I would go and I would be working, hopefully, alongside the Ministry of Defence to do it. I wouldn't just be doing Instagram lives like, what's up?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just got... You know, I've been thinking about making some legitimate documentary content about veteran mental health, for one, and that's something that I actually might start prior to Remembrance Day this year. And numerous other sort of things have been sort of like... being sort of rolled around my head a little bit. And then this happened, and I've been in my own head in a big fucking way the last week, watching all of this sort of... Like, I've fucking been to Kabul Airport, man. Like, I've been there where it's all fucking going off, and I'm like, it feels bizarre. Kandahar was another place that fell last week, and I was there for a long fucking time, and you're like, the entire sort of veteran community is very vocal about it at the moment. I don't think it's affecting anyone in a real negative way. I think everyone's sort of questioning what they did, and, you know, the friends that we fucking lost over there. And I think everyone's sort of just having a big re-examination of every sort of thing that's gone on. Our part that we played in it, things we experienced, the losses and the tragedies that we saw, you know, from our own troops and the troops that we worked alongside. And you just think, fucking hell, man, like 20 years of work and then in a weekend... gone. So yeah, my fucking people are struggling with it a bit.
Because I even said to you, you kind of look at it thinking, all that I gave, all that I served, and it seems like under a week, it's been jeopardised, isn't it? And then you kind of thinking back on it.
I've seen so many posts from, you know, fellow troops and that. It changed all of us in some way. Whether we just grew up, whether we've mentally never been the fucking same, you know, whether we lost close friends and bits of ourselves died out there, we're all different. We've all been impacted by Afghanistan in some way or another, and Afghanistan is the fucking... is the graveyard of empire. Like, 1919, the fucking biggest empire in the world, Britain, destroyed in Afghanistan and sent home with its tail between its legs. 1989, the Soviet Union, the biggest empire in the fucking world at the time, destroyed after a 10-year war with 150,000 of their own troops died, destroyed in Afghanistan by villagers fighting in flip-flops with AKs. Like, 2021, America, Britain, Canada, NATO fucking destroyed in Afghanistan. This fucking cycle keeps repeating. It is a hard nation of hard motherfuckers that wake up and want to fucking fight, right? So there's going to be some sort of civil war, I'm sure. The Northern Alliance, obviously not perfect, but would like to live free, I think, from the Taliban sort of regime. I think they're going to fucking try and have it. And I also think because, you know, there was 300,000 troops. I can't say 300,000 of those troops are, you know, loyal to the Northern Alliance, but I don't think 300,000 of those troops are loyal to the Taliban either. And I think there'll be a massive split amongst this. So I think it's going to get a lot messy. I think people's lives in Afghanistan are not going to get good for a long, old time. And it's going to be a fucking... I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, unfortunately.
100.
All right.
Better than me, obviously. I couldn't have done that.
I guess that's us, isn't it? Make sure to subscribe. And if you would like to check out the Patreon group, the link for that will be in the description below. But thank you for tuning in. Go and give our kid a follow. And Paddock are back in the league this weekend. We have got our first fixture against Moston on Saturday. It is open to the public. And a little bit more breaking news. Well, I'm going to do a club update, and I'll do it probably Friday, maybe, on the Paddock channel. But as of the 31st of August, we will have an under-14s, under-16s, under-18s, seven teams across the entire club, under-21s as well. Under-21s play their first game this weekend. And if you've got anyone that's in the area, the training's going to be in Ardwick. If you would like to come and get involved, we've got a pro-licensed UEFA coach and an A-licensed UEFA coach, which are going to be taking all of those teams. So if you're interested in coming, getting a good football education in Manchester and playing for Paddock at those age groups, then get in touch. Laters. Hey, thank you for watching the video. If you are new around these parts, then don't forget to subscribe. My channel is proudly supported by my community on Patreon. If you'd like to get a little bit of extra content, a Discord group, meetups, five-a-side games, weekly podcasts, behind the scenes, and even an occasional bit of transfer news as and when I get it, then for the price of a pint, you can show your appreciation for the content that we make and get some goodies for doing so as well. Check the link in the description or click the button right here. You'll also find all of my socials here too if you want to follow me on any of those platforms. Nice one.